So Genesis 6, starting at verse 19. Did I say Genesis? Yeah. Okay. Ignore that. Matthew 6. I was thinking of creation, obviously, in the back of my mind. Matthew 6. Is everyone there?
No.
All right. A few people raising their hands. Yes. Matthew 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole eye will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So far, God's word. Let's ask him now for a blessing on this true and holy word to us this afternoon. Please pray with me. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the words of comfort we're going to hear this afternoon, the reminder of your heavenly fatherly care for us. But also open our ears and our hearts to the challenge we're going to receive this afternoon to consider our priorities in life. Encourage us, challenge us, work in us through your Holy Spirit this afternoon, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We live in an age in which anxiety is on the increase. According to mental health statistics, 1 in 4 people will have a significant anxiety disorder at some stage in their life. Anxiety is a pretty particularly big problem in the Canterbury region. After the earthquakes, after the terror attacks, at present, with the effects of COVID. And I've talked to a number of people in the community and health professionals as well. And one thing that they note is that the anxiety level generally since COVID is increased. As people worry about the future, worry what's going to happen, as well as the general stresses and worry that we have in life. This afternoon, our passage speaks about anxiety. And as we consider our daily needs, as we consider the request of the Lord's in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, it's a helpful passage for us to look at this afternoon. As Jesus points us to depend on our Heavenly Father. Our passage this afternoon speaks about anxiety, and I want to be clear as we start here. This is not providing a one-stop, cover everything answer for all anxiety. There are types of anxiety that go beyond the questions that many of us ask from day to day. And if anxiety is something that you really, really struggle with, I don't want you to go away this afternoon and think, I just need to stop being anxious. Jesus says, stress less, trust more in him. That's not what our passage is saying. If you still feel this way after the sermon, if anxiety is something that you really, really struggle with, I encourage you, talk to people about it. Come and talk to me about it. But our passage does provide us with pointers and a direction with regard to being anxious. Tonight, as we consider the fourth request, we're going to examine how this passage gives us perspective in life, helps us to think about our priorities. And this afternoon, we're going to see that God's care for our needs should cause us to think about our priorities. God's care for our needs should cause us to think about our priorities. And the first thing we're going to see as we look at our passage is that God cares. He cares for us. The context of our passage is Jesus has challenged those listening to him in the Sermon on the Mount about money, about serving money. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve money and you cannot serve God. And money is one of the things that we can be anxious about. And Jesus uses that to go on to speak about anxiety in general. He says there in verse 25, I tell you therefore, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Now we should note right from the outset that for those listening to Jesus' sermon, these were real concerns. For many people living in those days, these were real problems for them. Where was the next meal going to come from? What would they drink? How would they clothe themselves? We don't have those same sort of struggles in the same way here in New Zealand today. Here in New Zealand, we have backstops for wider society. We have a welfare society. On Jesus' day, there was no welfare. And Jesus seeks that, even despite that, and those being real problems and real struggles for the people in those days, he seeks to give them perspective. He says, isn't life more than food? The body more than clothing? It's not just about your stomach. It's not just about keeping warm, Jesus says. And to explain his point, he points them to two areas in nature. The first area in our passage are the birds of the air. Jesus says, look at the birds. They don't store away food for months on end. They aren't stressed about their next meal. They rely on your heavenly Father. Note that there in verse 26. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Not the Father in heaven, but your Father. When you're worried about God's provision for you, when you're concerned in life, when you have cares, go outside and look at the birds, Jesus said. If God cares for the birds, if he provides for the birds, and you are more valuable than the birds, know that God will care for you. Jesus goes on to give another example in verse 28. We'll come back to verse 27. He says, consider the lilies of the field. Most likely what he's talking about here is lilies is the wildflowers that you can see, that we see sometimes, but were very well known, very prominent in Israel. No doubt they could be seen on the mountain as Jesus was speaking. And Jesus says, do you not know that your Father dresses these flowers? Think of the beauty of the flowers, Jesus says. Think of their care. Think of their intricate detail that you can see in these tiny little flowers. Solomon, dressed in all his glory, with all his robes and his jewels and his crown and his rings on his finger and his wonderful gold scepter, has nothing on these flowers, Jesus says. And you can see that yourself. If you think about your favorite flower, what's your favorite flower? What are some of your favorite flowers? Tell me. Gerbera. Gerbera? Must be some tulips in there somewhere. Roses. Roses, yeah. Rose is my favorite as well. And if you look at any one of those flowers and dissect them, it's amazing to see how well put together they are, isn't it? How they look different from every angle. How there's so much intricate detail. And every single one of those flowers that we look at screams out, God made me. God clothed me. God put me together. Jesus speaks about another plant going forward. How God clothes the grass even of the field. Grass that the people of Israel would gather together, dry it and use it as fuel in their cooking ovens. Jesus says here, if your heavenly Father clothes even this grass that is used simply to be thrown in the fire, how much more will he not provide you with clothing? That's how he can say in verse 32, your Father, heavenly Father, knows that you need them all. God knows that you need them. God knows your needs. And it's more than just knowing. One of the problems that is on the news at the moment is the housing crisis. And whether you agree with our government or not and what they're doing, you can be sure that they know there is a housing crisis. But it's another thing to do something about it, isn't it? As the media is full of solutions as to what should happen, what should be done, it's a different matter as to how it's going to be fixed. But we need not have any fears with our Heavenly Father. He knows that we need them, and by implication, he will provide the solution. He provides for us what we need. Now, that doesn't mean that we be passive, that we just sit back and say, well, I'm just going to wait for God to give it all to me. That's not what our passage is saying. What it's saying is that we need to trust in him for these things. As we go about life, as we go and live in the world, knowing that he cares for us. And the other thing that we need to remember is that he provides for our needs. One of the problems that we have is that we get mixed up. We make wants the things that we really would like to be actually needs. God doesn't promise that he will give us our wants. The point Jesus is making here is don't worry, because God cares for you. He cares for his children. And because he cares for you, that comes with a responsibility. The words that Jesus says here are words that demand a response. And we see that in our second point this afternoon. Jesus calls us to think about our priorities. He calls us to think about our priorities. The way to a man's heart is through his stomach, yes. The way to a woman's? At risk here, but we'll try. Jewelry? Shopping or clothing? Food and drink, clothing. You can see here a modern application of what Jesus is saying here in our passage. But if we're honest, food and drink and clothing aren't generally things today that give us real anxiety. There are other things that make us anxious. And Jesus says here that the things that the Gentiles seek after all these things, thinking about food and clothing. But he hasn't. If we apply it to today, there are more things that generally tend to take more time and energy, things that we worry about, that the world worries about more. And what are some of those things that the world places as a priority? Some of the things that the world worries about. Tell me, what do you think? Some of it can be food and clothing in our society. People get anxious about that. But what are other things that people get anxious about?
Money in the bank.
Money in the bank? Our bank accounts, yes.
Jobs.
Jobs, having a job, yes.
Health.
Pleasure, absolutely. Pleasure, lifestyle, leisure, all of those things. And there is so much time, so much energy, so much of our bank accounts spent on these things in the world. And it's the same for us too. We get caught up in those things. We get caught up in the desire for more. And what happens when we don't get those things? What happens when we don't get what we want? Isn't one of our responses to be anxious? To worry? Well, Jesus here provides us with an answer to dealing with anxiety and worry. And his answer is surprising as we look at verse 33. What does Jesus say? What is Jesus' answer here in verse 33? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first God's kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. That's a pretty radical thought, isn't it? When you're worried about the future, when you're worried about the basics of life, how do you deal with that worry? Jesus' answer is, think about his kingdom. Put his kingdom, God's will, first. Follow God's will set out in his word. That's not our default position, is it? We tend to worry about things more the day in and day out, chasing our desires. But Jesus says, place God and his program first. And as we do that, if we do that, God says to us, don't worry, I've got it. I've got it covered. I know what you need. I will provide everything that you need. And Scripture promises and reflects on the promise that he will give us even more than we need. Turn with me, and if you have your Bibles open, to one of my favourite passages, Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3 verse 20. Keep your hand there in Matthew, but Ephesians 3 verse 20. This is one of the passages that we came across in our time studying. And it was so true in our lives. Paul has spoken here a prayer for spiritual strength. And there in verse 20 he says this: now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. Note what he's speaking about, our Heavenly Father. He is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask him for, or even that we can begin to imagine. According to the power at work within us, Paul says, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God provides so much more than we need. The challenge to us is to put his kingdom first. Not to worry about the small stuff. But doesn't the Lord's Prayer go against that? As we said together, as we consider that request, give us today our daily bread, aren't we then worrying about the little things? Well, for starters, Jesus can't contradict himself. He can't contradict Scripture. And our Lord's Day is helpful in helping us understand what it is we're actually asking for. We are asking him to take care of our physical needs so that we may come to know him better. And it's that last phrase there that we recited that's important here. And so help us to give up our trust in creatures and to put trust in you alone. Our request to give us today our daily bread reminds us and helps us to place our trust in him. And if you remember as we prayed, remember the order of what we've prayed. We've prayed to our Father in heaven. We've prayed that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that his kingdom will come, that we've placed our priorities first and then brought our needs before him. It's the exact pattern that Jesus gives us here in Matthew chapter 6 at the end of the chapter. Trust in God, Jesus says. He will provide for you. But Jesus also acknowledges that it's not an easy ride. And that's our third and final point this afternoon. It's not an easy ride. First of all, he tells us and reminds us that worry doesn't help. In verse 27, Jesus says, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life?" Literally, this verse translated is, "Which of you, by being anxious, can make yourself taller?" Boys and girls, some of you would like to be a bit taller, maybe. See a few nods there. Do you think if you worry really hard, you'll grow taller? That's a ridiculous thought, isn't it? That's Jesus' point here. Worrying doesn't actually help you. It doesn't get you anywhere. But he does also acknowledge that life isn't easy. And that's why he says what he does in verse 34. "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." At a basic level in life, as we think about our day in, day out worries, we can acknowledge that generally we're more worried about the future than what's happening right now. We're more worried about the unknown that's coming, that test that we have to study for at school. What's going to be in the test? What do I need to know? That meeting with a person that you're dreading towards the end of the week, the bills that are due at the end of the month, the doctor's appointment that you know is coming, or that surgery date that you hope is coming at some stage. And Jesus is saying on a simple, basic level here, simply concentrate on today. Face each day one day at a time. As you concentrate on what you need to do today, that will help to decrease your anxiety levels. Worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow. And if you think about that, if you worry about tomorrow, then when tomorrow comes, you worry about tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes, you worry. You don't have to worry. You never actually end up worrying about the future. But Jesus does acknowledge that there is trouble today. He says in our ESVs, "Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." The NIV says, "Each day has enough trouble of its own." We know that, don't we? Life is tough. Things that can press on us cause us concern today, here and now. And one of the helpful things for us as we face tough times, as we worry about today, is to acknowledge that it is a struggle. We're not always so good at doing that, are we? As people ask us how we're doing, we say, well, we're fine. Part of acknowledging that we are facing trouble is telling people that you're struggling. On the other aspect of that, is that we're not always good at listening to each other, at sympathizing with each other when our brothers and sisters are going through struggles. But Jesus says, as you go through the days of the trouble of today, as you go through the trouble of today, know that your heavenly Father cares for you. Know that Jesus Christ cares and understands what you're going through. As we learned, as we were reminded as we came to worship this morning, we have a heavenly priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses, who knows our struggles, who knows our trials, and promises to walk with us through them. The encouragement of our passage, the encouragement of the Lord's Prayer, is that we can come to our Heavenly Father. We can lean into Him. We can lean on Him. As we place God first and His kingdom first in our lives, we can know that He will take care of the rest, that God has got it. Does that mean that we shouldn't plan? That's not what Scripture teaches us. What was one of the strengths of the Proverbs 31 wife? That she did plan for the future, that she did dress and clothe her family, that she did take care of those needs. We should plan. But as we make plans, we shouldn't worry. As we make plans, we should seek to put God's plan first, His will and His kingdom. And as we seek to plan our futures, we should bring them first of all before God and our Father in heaven. As we consider the decisions we have to make, as we consider our paths in life, we have to bring them before our Heavenly Father and say, Your will be done. Your kingdom come. And then let God take care of the rest. For our anxious little realm, for the fears that overwhelm, there is a throne. For mistakes we can't forget and the sins that still beset, we have a lamb. For our lost and lonely hearts, for our gnarled and tangled paths, we have a shepherd. For our dry and listless souls and our thirst for being whole, we have a stream. For regret and ravaged years, and our thirst for all sweet and bitter tears, we have a Father. For treks through burning sands to our home in promised lands, this hope till all is done, our God, the three in one. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, our Father who cares for the birds of the year, who clothes the flowers, we thank You for those pictures, those reminders we are given this afternoon of Your care for us. And Heavenly Father, as we worry, as we are anxious, help us to go outside, to watch the birds, to look at the flowers, and be reminded that You care for us. Heavenly Father, we pray that You would help us in our anxieties. You'd help us in our worries. Remind us of Your care for us. Help us to be open and honest with our struggles in life, and worry being one of those. Help us to be a loving body of brothers and sisters, an environment where it is okay to admit that we are not okay, that we haven't got it all together. Help us to be good listeners, good helpers. Help us to be sympathetic as we listen to each other. But help us, Heavenly Father, as we're reminded of Your care, to also have our priorities in life right. You first. Your kingdom first. Your will first. Help us to bring everything, all of our life, in submission to that idea and submission to You. And as we do so, Heavenly Father, remind us that because we do so, as we do so, You take care of all of our needs. So, Heavenly Father, Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Encourage us as we face lives that are challenging, as we walk together shoulder to shoulder, serving each other as we serve you. Lord, we thank you that you have got it, that you are in control. And we thank you and praise you that you not only meet every single one of our needs, but that you also give us so much more. We thank you for that. We praise you for that. Help that truth of Scripture to calm our souls. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.